Hello and welcome backstage. My name is Alim Pandaru and I will try to take you behind the scenes of the music industry.
Today we are at the PIN Music Conference in Skopje, Macedonia, at the invitation of East European Music Conference. My guest today is the Executive Director of Republika Communication in Pristina and the organizer of Sunny Hill Festival in Kosovo. And fun fact, the proud father of the famous Kosovo-British singer Dua Lipa. Let me introduce you, Duka Jean Lipa. That's how I pronounce it in Romania. How do you pronounce
it? It was very, very good pronunciation, actually. It's so, Duka Jean Lipa.
Duka Jean Lipa.
Everybody calls me Dugi, though.
Dugi.
So,
you grew up in Kosovo. How was that for you?
I grew up in Yugoslavia. When Kosovo was part of Yugoslavia, and it was a completely different setup at that time, and I sort of, musically speaking, we had our difficulties because of the language barrier, as I said like a few times today in the panel. And we had our first band when I was a 16-year-old boy, and then we recorded our first songs, and it was like really cool, and being part of the music scene, which was always vibrant in Pristina. We had like great bands and big bands, and that had great following. And then later on, I created another band called Oda in London when I moved there. And it was a difficult time politically speaking, and then it was difficult to become like a great big artist because of the language barrier, we had our difficulties.
You wanted to be a dentist.
I don't know, did I ever want to be a dentist, but at that time, you know, I was studying dentistry, and it was like something that would provide you with a safe future. So it would provide you with something that you could live on, something that you could be safe financially speaking, and of course being a doctor and a dentist, you know, in any society, it brings you a little bit of statute as well. But in the end of the day, I was always in love with my music. I was always in love with the music industry. And in the end, everything panned out to be that I'm going to live my life being involved in some way with the music industry.
That helped also Dua, because you were a musician and you passed this passion for music to her. Was she, I don't know, in love with music since her young age?
Well, Dua was always with us wherever we were. We would go and then play and tour, and she would always be in a backstage, no matter how old she was. From very, very young age, she used to be there in a backstage with us, and you know, she was always very into music and performing. And I would love to think that I had to do something with that. But I think she got the music, the passion for music, from a very early age.
And you also encouraged her to do that.
I studied dentistry for valuable 6 years, and in the end of the day, I ended up doing what my heart, you know, was telling me to do. And I was never going to be the one to say, oh, come on, you know, maybe it's not going to work. You know, you should probably, you know, follow your sort of safer route. But no, I was always there for as a support. And lucky enough, I had some sort of a knowledge and experience in the music industry and the management. And I was trying, and I still do, try to be there for her every single step, and hopefully we continue to do this.
Whose idea was to do covers and upload them on YouTube?
Oh, it was Dua, always. I mean, everything that does, I cannot take any responsibility in anything in Dua's development. She did everything on her own. She's like, you need to know Dua to understand how she thinks and the way that she operates. She's like a really, really great soldier of music.
How did you get in touch with Warner Brothers? How did that happen? Because I think that helped her a lot to break through the music industry, but it was also her talent because they discovered it.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, in 2014, actually before 2014, Dua, of course, she did the covers and uploaded them on YouTube, and then people were following. And as I said, she's very, very active, and she was very active in promoting herself and talking to other people and talking to creating her own network. And then we met the manager of Today after quite a few months that we are trying to do something else. And of course, the network in UK is vast and big. And we were lucky enough to stumble, so to speak, stumble upon some very, very good people, and who are still with us from the very first day. And then we had showcased Dua to quite a few labels, and it was sort of between three major labels, and Warner Brothers gave us the best option. So yeah, and then from there on, we started to create a bigger and bigger team around Dua, and started Dua writes her own songs. The management is a great group of people, and they are very into the real music. It's not just about managing an artist. It's more of developing an artist as well. So they help Dua a lot in that department, introducing her to different songwriters and to different producers and composers and people in the industry. So yeah, I mean, we were very lucky to have great number of people and great team around us.
How important is for an artist to be involved in the creative process of songs? Because there are a lot of artists that they receive songs, they only put their vocals and that's the song.
I think it's crucial to be involved like 100% in your creative process. Being a musician myself, I could never. But again, we were much more of an alternative rock band, yeah, than you know, a pop act, and it doesn't work. It does not sort of work for bands like ours. But for Dua, of course, we have a lot of songs sent for Dua to listen to them. But she is like 100% involved in her creative process, and I think it's very, very important for every artist to be involved in that way, because it's you have to be true to your material. You have to be true to your songs. Your songs are sort of the window to your inner soul, and you have to sing about what you really like and what you really believe.
That's true.
Yeah.
I got a chance to see her live two times at Sziget and at Lollapalooza Berlin.
Lucky
me. Yeah, lucky
because,
me.
Because I wasn't in Lollapalooza in Berlin. So yeah. Or Sziget, because we were doing the festival on that day. It was our last day of the festival,
yeah,
when
yeah,
she was performing at Sziget. So lucky you.
Yeah, it was. She did a great show. I love that she's not. She has a band. She's not just a singer. Hey, he's
yeah,
me.
I mean, it's a full camp there.
Tell me about this festival of yours. You have a festival in Pristina.
Yeah.
Where did that idea come from?
Well, it was a very old idea of mine, you know, that one day we should have a great festival in Pristina. In London in the 2000s, when I went for the second time in there, I used to work for a company that it was a festival company called Mean Fiddler, and they used to do Reading Festival, and I was involved with promotion of the Reading Festival at that time, and I was always dreaming of having something like that in Pristina, and then probably organizing something anywhere in the world, really. And yeah, that came to be in 2018, where we had like probably one of the best lineups in Southeast Europe and the Western Balkans, definitely. And our main takeaway is Sziget. And from this part of the world, I don't know, should we count Hungary as this part of the world? But yeah, takeaway Sziget, I think we had the best lineup in the region. So we had Dua, we had Action Bronson, we had Martin Garrix, and then we had Stanage, we had Coltrane, Gashi, you had S.G. Lewis, we had Grace Carter. I mean, we had a very, very beautiful lineup, and then we had a lot of local acts as well, because the aim of the festival is to promote Kosovo as well, and promote Kosovo live acts and then young musicians and young acts that can find their way and hopefully become as big as any artist in the world. So yeah, we had a great 3 days in Pristina. It happened on the 10th, 11th and 12th of August. We had about 45,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, we had the best lineup, and it was the cheapest festival ever that anybody could go. So we had like a lot of people from Germany. We had a lot of people from Switzerland. We had, of course, Macedonia. And we had from Albania, of course, obviously, and then all surrounding countries, they sort of flew in. As you know, we have a great diaspora in the Western Europe. So, and now it's becoming a very old immigration, very old. I wouldn't call it a very old immigration, but in Switzerland, predominantly, you have the third or fourth generation of Albanians living in Switzerland, because they used to go there much, much earlier than when the war crisis began.
Yeah.
So now they are like the third generation of Albanians in there, but they're friends with a lot of German and Swiss people. So we had a lot of guests from Switzerland and Germany, you know, to visit the festival. And I think we had this really cool festival for the first year.
You don't get...
We're doing it again 2019. The lineup is getting ready. we are...
Can you tell me when it's going to be?
Well, it's going to be... we are in between of last week of July or first week of August. So it's going to be in between. It most likely is going to be the first week of August. But we'll see.
Okay, I hope we will be there.
We are going to start publicizing everything, what's going to happen, etc. You saw a bit of the after movie that was done a couple of days ago, and we are just starting turning on our engines.
Hello again and welcome to the Halftime Break. Before we continue, I wanted to give you some context about this interview. It was originally recorded in December 2018, and since then Sunny Hill Festival had another successful edition in Pristina, headlining Miley Cyrus, Gashi and Calvin Harris. And now they're preparing the third edition that will take place at the beginning of August 2020. I would like also to thank Pin Music Conference for facilitating this interview, and also to invite you to another great conference about music festivals and more that takes place in Sibiu, Romania at the end of July. It is called East European Music Conference, and it will feature also some workshops and a showcase. And while you're there, you can also enjoy Artmania, a great festival that this year features Amon Amarth, Clutch, Testament, Cult of Luna, My Dying Bride and many more. You can find more details on eemusic.ro. In the second part of the interview with Duca Jean Lipa, we will talk about the different stereotypes that people have of the Eastern Europeans and the secret of Dua Lipa's success in the music industry. Enjoy!
The main purpose, I think, is to promote Kosovo and as a destination and as a country, right?
Yeah. One of the purposes is to promote Kosovo. Me personally, I don't know, I shouldn't say this in plural. Me personally, I love for everybody from the region to come over and to see, and the festival to be the reason why would they come to Pristina and see for themselves, and meet Kosovan youth and meet Kosovan people and meet the very cool and nice hospitality that we have. Because there is a lot of stereotypical things going on, be that for Albanians or for Romanians or for, you know, Macedonians or for Serbians or for whoever, you know, in the region. So we have to break those stereotypes, you know. We have to show the world that not everything what you read in the papers can be true.
That's true, that's true.
So, you know, as you know, you come from Romania, yeah. I have a lot of friends from Romania as well, that actually our partner in production was a company from Romania combined with some Hungarian guys. And we, you know, when we first spoke, you know, they said like, oh, you know, like, oh, Kosovo, you know. At the same time, I was saying like, oh, fuck, you know, Romanian. Oh, sorry for, excuse my language, you know. Like, how come, you know, how are we going to be, you know, because we have stereotypes on the both sides, you know. But we worked perfectly well together. It was, you know, we created this great friendship, and hopefully we are going to do this together again.
Yeah. Coming here to this conference, I discovered that a lot of Balkan countries have the same problem, the same issues, music industry related.
Yeah.
Kind of the same history, because part of the communist regime that was until 1989, and we are at the beginning now. We're comparing us with, I don't know, the UK, Germany and stuff. The music industry in these countries is at the beginning, and we're still learning how to do things. And I'm glad that in Kosovo they have a first. Is it the first festival, music festival?
This is the first. This is the first music festival that happened to this scale.
To this scale, yeah.
We did a lot of other organizing, you know, with my company, with Republika, and in Kosovo we had very big names, you know, from 50 Cent to Morcheeba, and then a few other
acts.
Snoop Dogg, and then Manu Chao, and then Novel Vague, and I can't remember all of them right now, you know. But not a festival, on a 3-day festival of that scale and of that kind of production, you know. We had like probably one of the most expensive productions in Europe to come and service the festival. Yeah, I mean, our rider was like one of the better festivals that I've been in.
When do you think you're gonna be break even after this?
that's a secret. I need to talk to my bank manager. Hopefully they're not gonna jail us. So yeah.
Let's go back.
Maybe we'll work for free for them. I don't know, for 100 years or something.
Did you expect that Dua would be so successful at after 3 years of? Her debut. No,
when you start this journey, you know, you cannot afford to think like this, you know, because if you start thinking like oh, I'm gonna start this journey because I want to be the best pop act in the world, you know, it's I think that you are preparing yourself for a great disappointment, you know. Yeah. So you take every day as it comes, and you work hard every day, and you work, you plan and strategize, and you develop as an artist and as a team with every day, and you just do the best you can, and you are true to your way of thinking and the music that you make and the lyrics that you write, and you cannot think of that like oh yeah, I am going to be, you know, the biggest. You are going to be the biggest if you work hard and if you write nice music.
So the secret is work hard,
nice music,
and write nice music. And talent, of course.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. It was a great discussion. Thank you for allowing this interview to take place.
Thank you so much for inviting me at your backstage podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Wish you all the luck, and I hope to see you next year at...
New Sunny Hills Festivals. Sunny yes, Hill Festival, I remember.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, just keep following at Sunny Hill Festival at the, in the Instagram, and we are going to publicize in there all the details for the upcoming festival of 2019. And we wish to see a lot and lot and lot of Romanian youth in Kosovo and share experiences.
If you're going to see a Romanian flag, that will be me.
Excellent, excellent.
Well, thank you so much and hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming backstage with me. I think it was a great talk with Mr. Dukagin, and I wish we would have talked more, but unfortunately we didn't have much time at the conference. As I said earlier, he is preparing now the third edition of Sunny Hill Festival in Kosovo, and as for Dua Lipa, she will release her second album, Future Nostalgia, on April 3rd, and she's already on tour this spring. She will also headline Sziget Festival and probably more festival this summer, so be sure to catch her live as well. If you enjoyed this episode, and whether you listen to it on your iPhone, on Spotify, on YouTube or on my website backstage.fm, I would really appreciate if you could give me a rating on Apple Podcast when you have the time. For feedback or complaints, you can text me anytime on Instagram at pandutsu, or you can leave a comment on the episode on backstage.fm. See you in a couple of weeks with another episode in English.